The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green on Dublin City FM. Fridays, 3 p.m. The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM. I know what you're thinking, this doesn't sound like the Sod Show, but it is. Show number 54, Brian and Peter, and in true Sod Show style, and because it's near St. Patrick's Day, and happy St. Patrick's weekend to you all, this week on the Sod Show, we are looking at the Bowron. Peter has an exclusive interview with Pádraig McNeela, and here it is.
Monday afternoon, in the company of the Bowron maker, Pádraig McNeela, the name.
We'll start off with the rim. This rim that I have in my hand is a 16-inch rim. So we use a 16-inch jig, and we wrap into that jig what we call cross-grain plywood, because the grain is running across, it's very easy to bend. So with this rim here, I've used three wrappings of 3.5 to 4 mil plywood, and I wrap it three times within itself, and I glue each piece of plywood together, clamp it, and then overnight it'll dry. I'll fill it in, and then it's sprayed and we put a bar into it. We also take a cutout out of the Bowron so you can slip your arm in and the rim doesn't actually hurt the Bowron while you're playing it. So that's the basic rim.
Were they always made from plywood?
They were plywood, birch, ash, whatever was bendable.
To backtrack ever so slightly, how long has the Bowron been in existence?
In existence as a Bowron, maybe 500 years, but the Bowron as a drum, as a frame drum, is thousands of years old, because they were used in India, North Africa, Persia, and at some stage the trade routes came from Persia over to the west coast and into Ireland and England, and they would have left drums at some stage, and the drums were used not only for drumming, they were used here for winnowing wheat, separating the chaff from the wheat, and it was an agricultural instrument. And the word Bowron in the Irish would have come from Bowronig, and Bowronig means to agitate. So rather than it coming from the word bower, meaning deaf, it's more likely to come from the word agitate, because the frame was used to throw the wheat up in the air, and the wind would blow the wheat from the chaff after it was, you know, crumbled. And you'd be left with the wheat. Then when it would dry out, you could use it as a drum, you see. And it was generally only used as a drum once a year, and that was on Stephen's Day, the Day of the Wren. So there's a history, there's a whole history to that as well.
Was it a case then that over the years that the wood change was a kind of a fashion thing, I suppose? Is that a fair question?
It certainly is now a fashion, because the most fashionable perlum is a deep rim perlum, which is nice to aesthetically sound. It's lovely to look at. It is made popular by Seamus O'Kane, and I make a lot of deep rim 16-inch perlums now. But years ago, you would use a griddle, anything you could get that was already rounded and you could tack a skin onto. So a griddle was used for separating stone. And before that, you could have used wicker, you know. So there was always something to make a shape. And you could tie the skin on with thong as well, which would be goat. Now, the skin is goat skin. You can use lots of different skins, but the best skin is always goat skin because it gives you that bend in the skin that you don't get. That bend, if you put your thumb to it, that gives you that deep tone. And it is a bass drum. And then that's using your hand if you use... Tipper is the stick.
Yeah.
Or somebody call it a bone, but it's a beater.
And is there a particular wood you'd make the beater from?
I use hardwoods, like mahogany or ebony or steel rosewood. Something that I can get. Rosewood is handy, but steel rosewood is very dense. And it gives you a swing on it that you're not using too much of your wrist. It's just nice and soft, nice and deep. That's what we're looking for in a finished perlum. Now, the skin, as I said, is goat skin. We don't kill the goat for its skin. But the skin is a byproduct. In many cases, goat skins are just thrown out. They're not used because there's no source for them. So, or no use for them. People would use them in India and Pakistan for making kid gloves and. I think they were delighted when the Irish came along and said, look, we'll use them for drums. But they do. They would also use them for drums, but much smaller drums. Our drums like start off at 14 inches to 18 inches, and our most popular would be the middle one, 16 inches. So the Baron I'm making now, I'm going to reskin it. The rim is already made, but is a 14-inch Baron. So I'm using a skin that's already tanned. After the goat has been skinned, you have to get the hair off it. So you'd wrap lime into it, and you could put it into a bucket of lime, a solution of lime, and the lime will rot the skin. Now, what rotten means is that it will open the pores, and after about 5 or 6 or 7 days, you'll have to check it every day, with gloves, of course, because the lime will burn the hands off you. Just see if the tufts of hair will pull out easy. When the hair is easily pulled out, you can put it into a barrel of water, pull all the hair off it, scrape the back with a scraper, get all the membrane or extra skin or that's on the back of it, and clean off the skin as best you can, and then put it into a bucket of salt water. Now, salt water is brine. It's like 3 pounds of salt to a gallon of water, and like the way the butchers used to do it for pickling beef, to make it corned beef, was that they'd put a potato on it. If the potato sank, there wasn't enough salt. If the potato didn't sink, there was enough salt in it. So you would leave it for 2 days in the brine. And what the brine does, it just cures the skin, finishes off the cure, and just stops any rot, closes up the pores, makes the skin nice and supple, and gets any smell out of it. So you don't have to go around with a smelly burn on, otherwise it hasn't been properly cured. So after that, then you would sand the skin, but you can do that either on the burn or you can do it before you put it on the table. So now, as you can see this here, looking at a 16-inch skin which has gone on to a 14-inch burn, and what I'm doing is I'm just pulling off a little bit of membrane off the back that's loose. Now it's just like an inner skin, and it brings us right down to the actual outer skin of the goat. So when I put that on, then I might give the back of that a little sanding to make it nice and smooth. Take a bit of thickness out. You don't want the skin too heavy because it'd be too hard. It'd be sound like a board. You want a bit of a twang. I attach the skin now. I brush on a wood glue with a fixer. Now there's a fixer in this, so that means that the glue is going to dry before the skin dries. Remember, I've just taken the skin out of a barrel of water, which has only been in it now for about an hour, but the skin is nice and soft, like a wet rag. So as the skin dries out, the glue dries more quickly. So it means I'm going to glue the skin on, because the skin grabs to the rim, and it's very difficult for the skin to pull off with heat. Generally with heat or left in the back of the car. So now I'm just looking for a brush. The rim is painted, except there's no paint where I'm going to glue the barrel. So the barrel's going to be glued straight to the timber and not to a coat of paint, for obvious reasons. This only takes seconds. Do a load of these in a day.
How many Beurons would you make in a day?
It would depend. I could make any amount. If I had the rims, I could make 30.
Is a fairer question, how many days does it take to make one Beuron?
Yeah, you could. Between curing and all that, it takes about 20 to 30 days. That's curing the skin. Curing the skin, making the rim, painting the rim, doing everything that's necessary to prepare everything, and then you put it together. What I'm doing now is just putting it together. So that's not going to take very long. Skin goes on the top. I'm holding the skin on there with an elastic band, but I think what I'll do in this case, I'll just tack it. And that will give you a bit of... It won't take long to tack. Now, so in this case, the skin has been both glued and stapled. That'll make it doubly strong.
It reminds me a little bit of when I first left college and I'd gone from the sleeping bag in my rucksack and I was trying to fit the duvet covers for the first time and I was getting it into the corners properly, and it took me about a half an hour maybe to adjust it. There seems to be an element of trickery just to get the first and the second and the third staple in. Is that it?
So you've a better take on women now. They're much more valuable than you realise. Much more skills. Now, I'm just putting the band over that. You can see the value of the band. The band is holding the skin down onto the glue so that I can glue it, so that the glue will catch to the skin. And then I can trim it off afterwards. Whatever excess skin I have that I don't need, I can trim off afterwards. Make this a bit tighter. All these barons now are going to Charlie Bourne in Stephen Street, and Hannah are looking after the baron sales in the. This is busy here. So that's it. After this, as you can see, there's an excess of skin. So I'm just going to trim that off with a Stanley knife. And that will just tidy it up. I'll straight away, since I have it stapled, I'll put the band straight onto it. The band will hold it down. That's the studded band, not the elastic band. Will hold the skin in place, and I'll stud it, and that barrel will be dry out in about 3 hours and ready to be played.
Is there a point where somewhere in between the last how many thousands of years that people try to Ford Model T, the Beuron manufacturing, or make it into manufacturing? But I'm looking at your tools, and it's very much the tiny headed hammer and the.
It's as simple as you get. It's just like being a shoemaker. The only tools you need will be for spraying the rims, polishing, like that polisher over there. Polishing the rims afterwards and just getting a bit of a shine on it, and doing any sanding that you would need. But traditionally, the tools are primitive, and not really necessary to equip to a very high standard, except in the making of the rim. The jigs for making the rims, much the same as drum rims, can cost an enormous amount of money. As those rims came in this morning, they were from Paddy Morgan, and Paddy's in Northside. So most of these barrels are totally Irish made, and it's a birch plywood, and that's where we sourced that. So we're just putting on the band here and tacking it in, and as you can see, the band is holding the skin tight to the rim, so that skin is going to glue in quite nicely. This baron here is for Charlie Byrne, who has left short one last week. So I said, I'll have one for you Monday or Tuesday. So I'll send that in to him. And these barons went off to disadvantaged children in a school. So we had a special job to do with them. A special job taken. They were excited about getting their barons and starting their classes. But it's nice to know where your work is going. And I enjoy it when I go down to Gael Scull Mead down the road here, and I see the kids with their barons and their concertinas and their fiddles, and I know that I supplied most of those. And I'm often driving in the morning and I'd see the kids waiting at the bus stop with their fiddles and their barons, and it gives me great pleasure to know that that somebody's using your barons, etc.
I know we're in the middle of an industrial estate, but the picture that I have of this room where we are, which is maybe about 15 metres by maybe 10 metres, it's very much that. Do you remember in the old shoemaker shop windows, they had that man whose hammer just constantly went back and forward? You seem to have that bit of a look about you when you're sitting down tapping away.
Yeah, it's an old-fashioned craft. I've been at it since 1978. And I can tell you, it's very enjoyable. I enjoy it when people come in, you can have a chat, maybe sometimes play a few tunes or get them to try out a flute. As you can see, I do a lot of flutes. I'm as famous for the flutes as I am for the barons. It might lose out a bit on volume, but professional baron, then, like this is 180 to 200 euro, and this would be your 16-inch deep rim. We tune this the opposite of the way drummers would do it. We tune it from the inside. Drummers were tuned from the outside, so we're tuning this from the inside the rim. Now, reason for that is it looks better, it's neater. With drums, it looks better because they've a lot of silver and on the outside, and looks good. What we do is we stud the outside, and that looks good. But they're professional. They're what we call pro barons. T bar in it gives you room to get your arm in behind it. You can use T bar as a grip, or you can use it as to hold the back of your hand against the skin, and it has a cutout again, so you don't bruise the inside of your arm when you're playing. And there you are. After that, I can only teach you how to play the baron. One other thing.
Go ahead.
People often ask, why do you put the tape on it? Because it's a bass drum, to get a more bassy tone, if I put the black tape on it, it gives us a deeper tone. So that's how I'm getting the sound out of the drum. Tone down the tuners on it and put the tape on it. The other thing you could do then is just put moisturiser on the skin to keep it supple, to say, because that skin is much the same as your own skin. So if you were to use moisture on it and make it nice and supple.
As in ladies, chemists,
Silcox or Silcox base, any of that stuff, or Vaseline, or, you know, but the moisturizer, the Silcox base is probably the best. Get a baron that will suit you. If you're between 9 and 14, get a 14 inch. If you're 12 to 16, get a 16 inch. If you're over 14, start off with a tunable baron. You must go to classes. Suggest something at their 16 inch pro barons, so they'll be quite deep when they're finished, although they won't be tunable. They cost about €50.
But they would be very far removed from what we would consider the tourist baron.
Yeah, they'd be much lower pitched, and they wouldn't have that high twangy sound off it, which is important, because people have to remember the baron is a bass drum. It's not a high-pitched drum that would be used in a marching band, you know.
And if people want to get in touch with you and find out more,
and we're at IrishMusicMusic.com.
Thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure.
You're very, very welcome. Call again.
What a wonderful insight into baron making. There can only be one type of song that we would have as song of the week, and it's got to be some real baron music. This is the Irish duo Salmon's Leap, Baron and Tin Whistle. On 3.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show. The Sod Show has an archive. Yes, we're that old that we have an archive. And right now we're going to dip into our archive, because we've got some wonderful little pieces about the Shamrock that we covered for you last year. First, Peter Donegan speaking with Jane Powers, followed by Peter Martin, Shamrock exporter.
In fact, you can get Shamrock in an awful lot of places. You can get it all throughout Europe. It grows naturally. It also grows naturally in North Africa and in West Asia. The practice of wearing the shamrock, nearly 300 years ago, in fact, it was recorded, as having been worn by Irish people. There's a book that's called Synopsis Stirpium Hibernicarum, and it's by Caleb Threlcold. And it, in fact, is the very first flora of Ireland. That is, it deals with the plants of Ireland. And this was published in 1726, and he was a British minister who lived in Ireland. And he wrote about this particular plant, and he said, "The plant is worn by the people in their hats upon the 17th day of March yearly, which is called St. Patrick's Day, it being a current tradition that by this three-leaved grass he emblematically set forth to them the mystery of the Holy Trinity. However that be, when they wet their shamrogue, they often commit excess in liquor, which is not a right keeping of a day to the Lord." And then there's a very big semicolon, and then after that he says, "Error, generally leading to debauchery." Caleb Threlkeld didn't think much of the Irish, I think, and their shamrocks.
And how times have changed, according to Caleb. Jane, quickly tell me, do we know where the name shamrock actually came from?
The name shamrock actually comes from the Irish, and it comes from two words, shamar, meaning clover, and og, meaning young. Ooh, I made it to the grapevine, and I'm just
about to lose my mind. Honey, honey, yeah. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
The description of the gel is called a hydrogel. It's a polymer gel. And basically what we do is we drop a piece of the gel in the bottom of a plastic vial and the shamrock seed in the gel. And we propagate the shamrock in that environment. And when we lay out that for planting purposes in our greenhouse situation under glass, there's punched holes in polystyrene trays, and we put the vial in the punched holes of the polystyrene tray. So you could have a polystyrene tray 3 foot by 3 foot with maybe 100 holes in it. And that then is suspended on over water. First of all, the advantage of the gel, it gives the product 10 to 12 days shelf life from harvesting. So it allows us to export it all over the world. And when it arrives to its destination, it's live and fresh.
And then the Taoiseach gives the bowl of shamrock to the American president, and a few minutes later, the CIA blow it up. I kid you not, that's the story we were told last year. It's another Sod Show. Thanks for listening, and thanks to all our guests. And as always, if you've got anything for Peter, send the news in. #SodShow on Twitter, blog.danliganlandscaping.com. on the blogs, and you can check out the podcast on iTunes and also available on our RSS feed on the blog. Thanks for listening. Catch you next week. Bye bye.